President Truman's press conference, 11 September 1952.
Please be seated. I have a short statement here which I'll read to you, and Tony, for your benefit, I'll read it very slowly because it's not mimeograph.
Oh, thanks.
You know, at the Chicago Convention, I said the Republicans have nearly all the newspapers and magazines on their side. Governor Stevenson the other day in Oregon had something to say on this situation. I agree with what he said and would like to add just what I mean by Republican control of the press. In 1948, only 10 3/10% of the 1,769 daily papers.
Mr. President, would you mind repeating those figures again?
Sure, Tony. Only 10 3/10% of the 1,769 daily papers in this country supported the Democratic candidate. And almost all the big circulation magazines were pro-Republican. I don't think the situation has changed much since then. In Michigan, in 1948, for instance, not one of 53 daily papers supported the Democratic ticket.
What year was that?
1948. There was not a single newspaper in Michigan that supported the Democrats.
How many daily points?
53 daily papers. In New York, only 4% of the papers were for the Democrats. In Pennsylvania, 1.5%. In Illinois, 3 4/10%. In Ohio, 4%. In California, 4 8/10%. Now I'll repeat those figures if it'll help you. All right. And you got the one about Michigan, where not one of the 53 daily papers supported the Democratic ticket. In New York, only 4% were for the Democrats. In Pennsylvania, only 1.5%. In Illinois, only 3 4/10%. In Ohio, only 4%. Going too fast? Going too fast for you? All right. How far have you got, Joe?
Ohio, 4%.
All right. In California, 4 8/10%. That's the last one. The one-party press situation is, of course, particularly tough for Democratic congressional candidates who get even less opportunity to state their case in their local Republican papers than does the Democratic presidential candidate. Now, I do not expect that listing these figures will result in any switches from the Republican to the Democratic Party. Newspapers, especially daily newspapers, have become big business, and big business traditionally has always been Republican. I suggest that Americans bear this in mind and add a dash of salt to every Republican helping of news, especially in those many papers and magazines which do not give a fair balance of news between the two major parties. If democracy is to work properly, the people must be able to read and hear not only the Republican story, but the Democratic as well. Our newspapers, magazines, radio, and TV have a great responsibility to be fair in this and in all other campaigns. I want to add a comment to that, that I don't think it makes much difference what to do. I've had some experience with the situation for over 30 years. And as far as I can remember, I never had the support of the Metropolitan Press in Missouri when I was running for the Senate, and I never needed it. In 1948, I read you the figures, and I think it's a rather a pitiful situation. The small amount of political influence that the great free press of the United States has. It's a good thing for the country, and I'm not worried about the situation, but I'm calling these things to, nailing this thing down for the simple reason that I'm very anxious to see in the news columns a fair approach to the thing. And I'll say this, that fairness has been increasing since Governor Stevenson's speech. I'm ready for questions.
Well, Mr. President, the Democrats have been winning for 20 years.
That's right.
I wonder if your figures don't mean that the more readers read the news columns than they read the editorial columns.
Oh, yes, I've always said that. I don't give a hoot what they say on the editorial page. They'll just give me a fair deal in the news.
Well, Mr. President, when you say that you don't give a hoot about the editorial pages, isn't that what your statement was aimed at, sir?
No, it was not. It was principally aimed at garbling the news, and there are papers in this country that do garble the news. There are a lot of first-class papers that do not, but there are a great many that do. I could specifically name them if it were necessary, but I won't. You know who they are as well as I do.
Thank you.
President, I wonder if you have any comment on Senator McCarthy's primary victory in Wisconsin.
No comment, Tony.
You have any comments, sir, on Governor Shiver's decision to support Eisenhower and Nixon?
No comment, Tony. When I get out on the road, I'll tell you a lot of stories that will be of interest to you.
In that connection, Mr. President, could you tell us something about your forthcoming western trip, where it may take you beyond Hungry Horse?
Well, it's not quite ready for an announcement yet, Bob, but just as quickly as we get the thing properly lined up, I'll see that you get a mimeographed copy of the schedule. And you have to take two or three clean shirts, because it's going to be pretty well stretched out. And you won't have time to stop to get in the laundry.
I have a half a dozen thousand miles of shirts for that.
So have I.
Mr. President, can't you tell us whether or not you plan to go to the Southwest since they've had this trouble down there?
The program is being outlined by the National Democratic Committee, and the President will go where he's requested to go by the committee.
Seems to me you're going to do about as much campaigning as in 1948. Is that about right?
Well, no, it isn't right, because in 1948 I started out on several non-political trips in June, and then I had started out on the real political tour on Labor Day, and I didn't stop.
Well, I meant the trips after Labor Day.
I don't know yet, Tony, because the thing has not been completely outlined. As soon as it is, why, then you can compare them if you like. And I've got the figures on the other trips.
Mr. President, can you give us any assurances to how early you will be getting up in the morning for some of these whistle stops?
Well, I haven't ever put any early rising time on any of these things. I always get up where it's necessary. I think the earliest time we ever got up, Tony, was about 6:30. That wasn't bad.
Mr. President, is that really necessary?
It carried Colorado, if I remember correctly.
Mr. President, some of these House investigators looking into the Justice Department claim that there's been some pressure from the White House on Mr. Caudill and others on these tax cases. Do you know of any pressure like that?
I do not.
Mr. President, there's a report that some high-level British officials are coming here early next year to discuss some all manner of economic matters between the two countries. Do you know about that?
No, I haven't been informed on that. I suppose they'll wait for the new administration because they know I won't be here next year.
Some preparation on this side for such talks?
I know nothing about it.
A particular visit?
I know nothing about it.
Mr. President, would you care to comment on General Eisenhower's endorsement of Senator Jenner?
No comment.
Mr. President, those figures you gave us for the newspapers, were they percentages of circulation of the newspapers or percentages of the
newspapers as a whole? There were 1,700 out of them, and that the percentages were based on the number of newspapers. When you get to circulation, the percentage runs a great deal higher.
President, knowing the temper of the people. He's been out among them. He thought they were more interested in a change than in peace. What do you think about that?
I don't think that's true. I think the thing that the country and the world is interested in is peace. And that's what we've been aiming for 7 long years. And I'm still hopeful that we'll get it. We won't necessarily get it by the sort of a change that they're talking about.
President, General Eisenhower spelled out a Republican farm program a few days ago. I wondered what you thought of it.
Well, I'm glad Ike was perfectly willing to take some of the principal planks in the Democratic platform and try to stand on them. It's a little late, though, for the Republicans to get on that platform.
Mr. President, the Japanese wishes to log the large block of the Tongass National Forest in Alaska. Do you approve of allowing them to form an American company so that you...
Ask that question again. I didn't hear it.
The Japanese government, through its embassy here, has informed the State Department and other agencies that it wishes to log a large section of the Tongass National Forest, which is southeastern Alaska, largely. Do you approve of letting them form an American company to do that?
I don't know anything about it, and so I can't approve or disapprove. It's never been put up to me.
President, I believe you said that you didn't think we would get peace with the change that Eisenhower is proposing.
That's right.
That could be construed to mean that...
An isolationist Congress is what he's proposing, and that won't bring peace.
That could be construed that I mean...
I didn't say it was at all. I said it would not bring peace. Don't misinterpret anything I tell you, and don't try to put words in my mouth. I don't like that.
Mr. President, just to clarify, you said an isolationist Congress is what he's proposing. I don't think that will bring peace. Do you mean by his endorsement of some of the candidates?
I mean if we elect a Republican Congress, it'll be isolationist. I'm only going by their votes in Congress as a whole, in the minority that they're in now.
President, could we quote isolationist Congress?
Yes, isolationist Congress.
Thanks.
Anything we've overlooked, Mr. President?
I don't think so, Bob. I haven't anything else on my mind.
Thank you.
It's all right.